It's good to be with you this afternoon as we prepare to study the Lord's Word for a few minutes this afternoon. I'd like to ask you to think about a year ago about this time. When you think about a year ago, would you say that you were prepared for all that we have gone through in this last year? Would you say that you were ready for the circumstances that we've had to deal with and are dealing with? Would you say that there were some preparations that you would have made if you had known what was, as it were, coming down the road? We know that in various ways we were, quote, not ready for these things. And to be honest with you, we are not perhaps as prepared for the future as we ought to be. These times that we live in have taught us about the need for preparation, of readiness. But that is exactly what the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It's a message of readiness, of preparedness, of getting ourselves ready for that which is to come. You have the notes, and for those of you following online, again, you have the chart, so I will not be reading all the passages that are there. But I would like you to know, to begin with, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, that Jesus describes the manner of life that we're to have as one that is a constant. When he says there in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, and I'm going to have a challenge turning my pages. But there, we read Jesus say, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. There is never a time for our lamps not to be lit. There's never a time, as we consider Ephesians chapter 6 and about the need to put on the armor of God. If you notice in that chapter that Paul says you need to put it on, and there's never an occasion to take it off. We're to be ready for the spiritual battles that will come our way. Then he said in verse 37 of Luke chapter 12, blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert, who are dressed in readiness, whose approach to life is, I don't know what is going to come, but I know whom I'm going to trust in, and I know where my faith lies, and I'm going to rely upon that, whatever the situation may be. You read also in Matthew chapter 24, and in verses 42 through 44, about that need to be ready, to be prepared. He said there in Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 42, therefore be on the alert. You do not know which day your Lord is coming, but be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think that he is. And so we remind ourselves that the ultimate ready event that we need to prepare ourselves for is the Lord coming again. We were reading this a few weeks ago at home, and as we talked about getting ready, we talked about the fact that this is the big ready. This is that which we're trying to prepare everything in our lives for, is for that moment in which the Lord will come again. And we need to be ready for that. When it says be dressed in readiness, it literally means let your loins be girded. And that's the idea, that you be dressed and ready to go. And have the reference there of Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11. When preparing for the Passover, the Jewish people, the Israelites, were told, get ready to go. You need to have your sandals on your feet, and you need to be dressed. You need to finish the Passover meal, because when it's time, you need to be prepared. You need to be ready to go. And we need to be prepared in that same sense. We need to have our loins girded around us. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of readiness. It's the gospel of preparation. We know that in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17, John the Baptist's mission was to make ready a people ready for the Lord. He was to make them ready for the coming of the kingdom. And we know that in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, God's people are described as a people who are ready. They're people who are prepared. And so the question is, how do we become ready for the Lord's coming? And oftentimes we leave our readiness in that regard. We think, well, I've just got to be ready when the Lord comes again. Well, yes, that's true. But there are some things that we need to also be ready for that will make us ready for that moment. For example, the first thing I would suggest that we need to be ready to do is found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Peter is writing to Christians who are scattered about, Christians who are being persecuted, Christians who are suffering. And to these Christians, and earlier in verses 13 and 14, he reminds them that, again, of that persecution, the suffering. But he says, in regards to that, he says, verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. First of all, again, Christ needs to have that place in your heart that he is Lord. And then says, always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Are you ready to defend your hope? Are you ready to explain to other people why you believe what you believe and why, even in troubling times like this, why you're still hopeful? Why, when all the rest of the world, pardon me, is going crazy, when all the rest of the world is losing their minds and dimming up their hope, well, why do you have hope during these times? Why is it that you're not troubled like everybody else? Well, let me explain that to you. Let me defend my hope, why I have hope. That word defense in 1 Peter 3:15 is the Greek word apologia. It's where we get our English word apologetics. It's the idea, and then that's used in debate teams. You know, that's often called when you have people debating topics, it's called apologetics. But it's our ability to defend why we believe what we believe and the reasons that we have for that. If you'll turn to Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 15, Paul says, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ, even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Paul says, this is my purpose. Says, I'm set, I'm ready to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. To defend, as he wrote 2 Corinthians, to defend those who attacked him. I'll defend it. I'm ready. I'm set for this. I'm prepared for this in my life. The wind is playing havoc here. All right. So the question is we think of being ready for the day of the Lord. Let's back that up and say, are you even ready to defend why you think you're ready for the Lord? Are you ready to defend your hope? And that will help us in our preparation for that. Secondly, and you might say, well, this is kind of the same point, Chris. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, so as much as in me is, and I'm reading now from the New American Standard, I am ready. The New American Standard says, I am eager. But I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are in Rome. And we know in verse 16, well, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. But he says, I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to, the word preach literally means to pray, proclaim, to make known. I'm ready to tell you about the gospel. I'm ready to tell you about hope. I'm ready to tell you about redemption and salvation. Are we ready? Have we prepared ourselves so similar to being ready to defend? Are we now ready to share the good news of the gospel? It's interesting when you read in the Old Testament, the book of Ezra, you're reading about one of the scribes who led one of the groups back to Jerusalem to reestablish worship. And, of course, in my Bible cover, I have Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, where it says, Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach it in all of Israel. But earlier in verse 6, it is said of Ezra that Ezra went out from Babylon, and he was a scribe, and it says, skilled in the law of Moses. You might say, well, how is it that he was skilled in the law? First of all, remember, where did he get that skill? He got it as a captive. He got it while he was in captivity in Babylon, and he took the time to prepare himself with the law of Moses so that it was said of him he was good at it. He understood the law. He was skilled. He was prepared. He was ready to teach. And so when he went to Jerusalem to help restore worship, was ready. He had spent his time, and he had spent his downtime, perhaps time when he was in isolation, time when he didn't have other things to do. He used his time to prepare himself to teach the law. And so it takes time for you and I to get ready, to be skilled in the law, to handle accurately the word of truth. We know 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth, being skilled in the law, knowing how to apply it, having that ability. And like in Acts chapter 8, when you see somebody reading from the word of God, can you go to them? Wherever they're reading from, says, I'll start with you there, and I'll help teach you Jesus Christ. I'll help you, lead you to Christ from that passage, like Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch. Are we skilled and are we ready? When we have an opportunity to say, I want to help lead you to Christ through the scriptures. And so we need time to get ready. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, we know that by reason of time, we ought to be teachers. We ought to use our time in that way. Thirdly, we're going to be ready for the Lord. We need to then be ready here upon earth to serve others. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul writes to Titus and says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient. And then he says to be ready for every good deed. Why would he need to tell Christians to be ready to do good things? We know what good things. Well, good things indeed includes the idea of worship. It includes being ready upon the first day of the week to assemble with the brethren and worship him. But it includes being ready for good deeds. It also includes looking for opportunities to serve one another, looking to fill and to meet a pressing need, to meet an opportunity that others had. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 25 addressed the opposite side of people who weren't ready when he said in the parable of the judgment scene, and those that were on his right versus those that are on his left, those that were condemned, he said to them in Matthew 25 and verse 44, or they said to Jesus when he condemned them, because when I was hungry, he didn't feed me. When I was in prison, he didn't visit me. When I was naked, he didn't clothe me. And their response was, when did we see you? When did we see these opportunities? We didn't notice any opportunity to feed you, to visit you, to comfort you. They weren't prepared. They weren't ready to meet the needs, to look for the opportunities. So our heart has to be prepared with humility, with mercy, compassion, lifting up our eyes upon the fields, as Jesus said in John chapter 4, looking for the opportunities, being ready to take advantage of them. Being ready is to be opportunistic. It means that we see the opportunities before us, we're looking for them, we're keeping our eyes open, we're not focused on selfish needs and selfish ambition. But in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9, and Mickey, you've heard him talk at length about the context of Galatians chapter 6, about the contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. But he says in verse 9 of Galatians 6, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. While we have opportunity, we've got to see those. We've got to see the need to serve. We've got to see the need to provide the opportunity to defend our hope, to help those who are in need, and to be a light in this world. Are you ready to serve other people? Are you ready to be the light that the Lord needs us to be? But finally, here's where it gets difficult. As we sit here, we're not comfortable right now. It's a little cold. We think perhaps is this our call to suffer. As a child of God, if we're going to be ready for His coming, we've got to be ready to suffer. We've got to be ready, as it were, to count the cost, to understand what it requires of us to follow the Lord. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 13, Paul answers, as we know that's before he was talking with, as he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows what awaits him. And he's responding to those who are telling Paul, don't go there. We know what's going to happen to you. We know that you're going to suffer when you go there. And Paul answered in verse 13 of Acts 21, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? Paul says, for I am ready, not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. You think Paul was ready for the coming of the Lord? Yes, I do. You know why he was ready for the coming of the Lord? Because he was ready also to suffer for that cause. Paul was reminding the brethren, I'm whatever the cost is, Paul says, I'm ready for that. I'm ready to pay that price, even if it means giving my life. Are we ready for that? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Peter, again, writing to these sojourning dispersed Christians, he tells them in verse 12, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, as though it were some strange thing. You need to be ready for this. You need to understand these fiery ordeals as suffering and trials are going to come your way when we suffer for the cause of righteousness, for righteousness' sake, because we take a stand for the truth, because we believe the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has taught us. Our opposition will challenge our determination. They will challenge our readiness. We know of the story in Daniel. But in Daniel chapter 3, we know, talking about, I like to use their Jewish names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that they were the ones who were told that if they didn't bow down before the image, that they were going to be cast into the den of lions. We know that in Daniel chapter 3, and in verse 15, that Nebuchadnezzar asked them this question. Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made very well, but if you do not worship, you immediately will be cast into the midst of the furnace of a blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hand? Did you hear how the Nebuchadnezzar says, are you ready for this? Are you ready for the consequences of what I'm going to put before you? Would you be ready for a moment like they face? Would you be ready for a moment to say, light the fire? Cast us into that furnace. I've heard it said before, and I think it's appropriate to say, both regarding to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, as well as Daniel in the lion's den. God didn't save them from the suffering. God saved them in it. And we need to be prepared for that. We need to be prepared for whatever suffering may come along and understand our responsibility to be prepared to answer those questions that may come our way, such as with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Are you ready to suffer? So finally, brethren, as we bring this lesson to a close, we need to simply ask this question, are you ready to obey? Are you ready to do His will? Are you ready to act upon what you know to be right? We know in Luke chapter 12, verse 47, it says, and that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accordance with his will receive many lashes. When we know what we ought to do because we have listened to the word of God, we've heard what God has to say, and we understand what he is asking for us to do, are you ready to act? Are you ready to act by faith? Because it is Jesus and his Father in heaven who has told us to do what we need to do. We know in Matthew 7, verse 25 to 27, that as Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus told them about the one who heard and acted upon the things that he had taught. It's like the one who builds his house upon the rock. And the one who builds his house upon the sand is the one who says, yeah, I hear that, but I'm not ready to do it. I'm not ready to act upon what I know to be right. Having heard the truth, having listened to what God has had to say, are we ready to believe it? Are we ready to confess our sins? Are we ready to acknowledge what we have done is displeasing in God's sight and sinful? Are we ready to repent and to turn our hearts and minds to Jesus and to what He has asked for us to do? And if you're here this afternoon, not a child of God, are you ready to obey and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? To act upon what you know that Jesus has told us to do to be forgiven of our sins? If you're here this afternoon and you realize that a child of God, that you have not perhaps obeyed, you've not been ready, you have not prepared yourself, but you desire to make that change, will you be ready to confess your sins and to ask us to pray with you and for you to that end? Will you be driven by your faith to act this afternoon and to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you are, won't you make that known as we stand together and sing?